This is a bonus episode of the Rental Income Podcast. And now, Dan Lane.
Nick, you're an attorney. Let me ask you a question. If we have a tenant that doesn't pay rent and we have to evict them, but at the end of the eviction, they still owe us a bunch of money, do we have any options legally to go after that tenant to get our money?
Yes, you do have some options to go after them. In order to do that, you're going to need to make sure that you obtain a judgment that awards you that money. And then from there, you've got multiple options and ways that you can actually enforce that judgment. And once the judgment's enforced, then that's how you're going to get your money back.
On today's bonus episode, Nick McGrew is going to walk us through the legal process and show us what we need to do to get a judgment against a former tenant. And once we have that judgment, he'll show us how we can take that and actually garnish the wages to get the money that's due to us. So we'll talk to Nick in the first part of the show. And then on the second part of the show, we're going to talk to Jan Guida, who is a landlord that has actually been through this process. We'll see how everything's worked out. We'll see if he actually got his money and if going through this process was actually worth it. So let's take a really quick break. We'll thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Nick McGrew.
Do you worry about renters breaking their lease? Or even worse, what if they simply stop paying their rent? Well, I have good news for you. There's insurance for that. I'm Jesse Schmidt, Senior Vice President of Sales here at The Guarantors. You may remember me from Dan's bonus episode, Is This Better Than a Security Deposit? The Guarantors guarantees your leases, protecting your rental income against rent default, vacancy loss, lease breaks, holdover, apartment damage, and more. This is all at no cost to the property owner. Your tenants pay for this protection, leaving you to sleep better at night with one less worry. Within minutes, you can enroll your rental properties today with the Guarantors by visiting theguarantors.com. Again, that's theguarantors.com. And if you want to learn more about our platform, check out the bonus episode from September 15th, 2022.
Rental Income Podcast.
Nick, so let's kind of start off by having you walk me through the process. So we have a tenant that doesn't pay rent. We get them evicted. We get them kicked out of the property. Walk me through, how do we get a judgment against them?
Yeah, so part of this is going to depend on the specific procedure in your area. And so that's why I always recommend to have local counsel, because not only is this going to vary by state, but it even could vary depending on the city or the county that you're in. So once you've evicted them, some states will allow you to get a monetary judgment with the eviction. Other states, you might be required to pursue another claim in order to get a judgment. So if you have to pursue another claim, you can do it in small claims court or in regular court. And essentially what you'll have to do is prove your case, present your evidence. And if the judge agrees with you, then the judge will issue an order that says that the tenant owes you X amount of dollars, however much is outstanding.
To get prepared for going to court, what paperwork is the judge going to ask for? Like, do they want to see a lease or maybe a ledger of is showing that they were paying rent for this period of time, but then they didn't pay rent for this period of time? Is that what they're going to want to see, or is there something else?
I'd say all of the above. Yes. Okay. So you're going to want to have documentation. And in this scenario, particularly since you're in the right, more documentation is probably going to be better. Okay. So you're definitely going to want to have the lease showing that they owe money or showing how much is owed. And then, yes, you're going to want to have any notices that you've given them saying that they haven't paid lease. You're going to want to make sure, again, that you're working with a local attorney to ensure that you have provided the proper notices. You'll also will want to show, if they have paid rent, show the ledgers that shows where rent was paid and the days, and also show where the rent was not paid.
Okay.
But I would say that the more documentation, the more evidence that you have, the better off you're going to be and the more likely you're going to be able to get prevail on the claim that you're pursuing.
And if the tenant has also caused damages, I assume pictures would be helpful, maybe showing the property before and after.
Yes, absolutely. And so that's also one thing that's important, is that many times you're going to want to have the client sign, or sometimes you can take a video of the client showing that, particularly if the unit is not damaged, showing when they moved in, showing the condition, so that you then have the contrast later if there is actual damage. And so one thing to keep in mind with all of this is that you are the one pursuing this claim. And so that means that you have the burden of proof. And so you've got to prove everything that you're trying to claim. You got to prove that you followed the proper procedures, and you got to prove ultimately that the client, that the tenant is in the wrong. So the more documentation, the more pictures, the more evidence, the more agreements that you have, the more likely that you're going to be able to convince the judge and prove your case.
From what you've seen, do most tenants pay the judgment when they lose, or do you end up having to go after them?
You're typically going to have to go after them because in most cases, if they haven't paid their rent, it's either because they don't have the money to or they're not wanting to. And so after you've sued them, they're, while we would think they might be more inclined, they, again, may not have the money or they may be more upset. And so you're typically going to have to actually pursue them, get them to pay.
And as far as getting them to pay, I guess forcing them to pay, would a garnishment be the best option?
Yes, the garnishment's going to be your likely your best option. Again, the procedure for this is going to vary state by state, county by county. But typically, you're going to get a writ of garnishment. So you have your judgment. There's a process you can go through to get a writ of garnishment. And then you can serve that writ of garnishment on their employer. And in some jurisdictions, you're also able to actually garnish from bank accounts as well.
Oh, wow. Okay. So if they do have cash, you could go to their... So I guess you'd have to figure out where they bank?
Correct. Okay. Yes, you would need to know all that information.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, that's helpful. So if you know where they bank, then you can serve their bank. And if they have the cash sitting there, the bank will just basically hand it over to you?
Somewhat. Typically, there's limitations on how much can be garnished at a time. So they're typically not going to give you 100% of the funds in that bank account unless the amount you're owed is within the percentage that is allowed to be garnished.
Okay.
Typically, it's around 30% that you can garnish. And so if 30% of what's available doesn't satisfy the judgment, then there's usually a timing mechanism, and then you can turn around and garnish it once that timing has expired again.
Okay. And I guess that the same with knowing where they bank, knowing where they work to garnish their wages, you would have to either know where they work or figure out where they worked.
That is correct. So once you get this order and if you get the writ of garnishment, there's still going to be some more work that you have to do.
Okay. And then what happens if they switch jobs? Say after you get the writ of garnishment, you start getting paid. What if they just quit their job and go somewhere else? Do you have to start the process over again?
Yes, you would need to start the process over again. In most jurisdictions, you are, however, allowed to add the cost of collection to the order. So say that between the first writ of garnishment, you incurred another $300 in costs of outside expenses, then typically you're allowed to add that to the total amount that you're garnishing, total amount of the order.
All right. So all of the legal fees that you had to pay to get this, they would all go in there. What about like interest, like for the time that you lost?
Typically, there's statutory interest. Again, this is going to vary by jurisdiction, but many jurisdictions have statutory interest, so they'll have a set rate of interest that you're allowed to add on time goes by. In most cases, that interest is not compounding, though.
Okay. And how long does this whole process generally take? And I know this is probably going to vary from area to area, but just to give us a ballpark, how much time should somebody think that they're going to need to set aside to go through the entire process from first starting the process to getting the judgment to actually getting the garnishment of wages?
So for most jurisdictions to get the even just the eviction, you're probably looking at a minimum of 45 days, and depending on scheduling, a little bit longer. And so that would get the actual eviction. And then if you're required to do another proceeding to actually get a judgment, that's going to be some more time, which likely will be at least a month or two. And then once you finally have your order and your writ of garnishment, then you're still going to have to serve that on the appropriate party. And so you're looking at probably at least another 30 days until the garnishment starts. So I'd say at the quickest, you're probably looking at about 4 months but it could very easily be much longer than that.
If you have any questions for Nick, or if you want to reach out to him, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/garnishment. Let's bring in Jan Guida, who is a landlord in Philadelphia. Jan, so you've actually been through this process twice, right?
I have. Unfortunately, I had a situation where it's happened twice to me, and I'll have to tell you more about it.
Give me some context here. What was going on with your tenants?
Well, two separate situations, but both situations led to, hey, they left my property and they had past due rent, but they were still under a current lease. So there's several months left on the lease that they still owed me. So contractually, the tenant still owed me past rent or all their rent for the term that was unpaid and the remaining months, and as well as repairs on the property too, because both left the property in pretty bad shape, unfortunately.
Did you have to go through an eviction with both tenants?
I didn't actually. I actually had a property manager at the time, and they identified that the tenant had left after a couple different letters. Not a full eviction. There was a failure to pay option that we filed with the court.
When you decided to go after the tenant, you went through the process of getting a judgment, and then once you had the judgment, then you went through the process to garnish their wages. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. So basically, the property manager and I went through several notes. We documented everything, and I presented it to a collections attorney in the area.
Okay, so this wasn't something you tried to do on your own. You worked with an attorney through the entire process.
Exactly, and absolutely, and I don't see why anyone would. Yeah. I would always use an attorney for this process, because sure. Basically, the judgment included the attorney fees as well.
Okay, what kind of costs were involved on your part to do this?
Out of pocket, there were some filing fees. Let's see here. It was mostly filing fees and some research time for the attorney to put and prepare the court case together and prepare for the court case, as well as questions for me to prepare for judgment day, right?
Okay, so like a nominal fee. So it doesn't sound like it was that much that you had to pay.
$700 I had to pay.
And then the other attorney fees, that gets passed on to your former tenant?
Correct. In the entire judgment, including repairs.
Okay. All right. So once you got the judgment and you garnished the wages, did you get all the money that you were owed?
Man, it was great for a while. I was collecting checks. I mean, it seemed like every 2 weeks I was getting a check for a former tenant that was getting biweekly pay. At some point, they changed jobs and moved. Apparently this tenant was an expert at having other properties and doing similar type of activities.
So then on your part, you would have to track them down again to re-garnish their wages from their new job?
Correct. And that could be done via a private investigator, word of mouth, things of that type of stuff. A lot of social media could be a good clue too.
Are you doing that right now?
I am.
Okay. Okay. So if you were to put a percentage on it, how much, what percentage of back pay, of back rent do you think you collected?
Well, for the first tenant, I've collected about 80% of what was owed, including the, so I basically received most of the payments and then some short of like maybe the extra attorney fees that were there.
And then what about for your second tenant?
The second one, I'm still trying to track down and collect that money. Okay. So it's not as good of a story as the first one.
Okay. So overall, would you say this was worth it to go through the whole process?
I say it's worth it. I mean, I collected money for a property that wasn't rented. I was made whole there. I think it's definitely worth nothing to be intimidated by. The only thing was I did have to spend a couple hours in the courtroom dressed up, and studying some of those questions that were prepared from the attorney. But other than that, it was a painless process other than just my time.
If you want to reach out to Jan, I've got his contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/garnishment. Well, I think this is an interesting idea. I think it's a good tool to have in your toolbox. I don't think it's going to work out in every single situation, but I think if you've got the right tenant that has the money and they should be paying you, but for whatever reason they didn't, I think this can be a great way to get the money that's due to you. Thank you so much for checking out this bonus episode. I'll be back with a regular interview on Tuesday. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.